welcome our BBFOhioRadio.com listeners and those who will listen to this on other radio and internet broadcasts, as well as on our YouTube and sermon audio sites. This is an important current events news commentary regarding Senator John McCain. At the time of this recording, John McCain's most recent betrayal of the American people was to vote against the repeal of the Nazi-styled Obamacare mandates. And if you don't know what I mean by that, just do a search on Hitler healthcare. And McCain's vote, July 28, 2017, keeps intact the government takeover of health care, which is set to destroy the system that's in place so that there can be a truly socialized health care system. You mark that down. Some of you may be listening to this sometime in the future, and it's already happened, but that's the design. They want to bring down capitalist health care and put it in the hands of the government, and it will result in a form of eugenics by another name. They're already killing the unborn babies. They're already killing off the unwanted children and those who they deem to be not living the quality of life that they deem necessary. Recently, the little baby Charlie was a victim of the UK socialized medicine system, and that's what they want to do in America. And if you don't understand how important this is, you really don't understand the world you live in right now, and that means no matter where you're listening, we have listeners in more than 100 countries who listen by means of the internet and several radio stations. And I don't care what country you're in right now, you need to understand what's going on. The healthcare thing is a discussion for another day. But I made some comments on social media, and I was challenged to produce something that could be used by Bible believers to educate others on John McCain's wicked political history. And I specifically said that John McCain has been a traitor and a betrayer to the POWs left behind at Vietnam. And I was challenged to produce something that could be used by Bible believers to educate themselves and others on the matter. And our purpose for doing this is to answer the request and to provide material to our listeners and viewers, but also to help open the eyes of the blind. Because so many seem to think that John McCain is some kind of hero. And they also, generally speaking, people just seem totally oblivious to the deep state elites and their globalist agenda. And so many Bible believers are getting caught up in this New Age and Gnostic garbage instead of reality. Whether it's health care, the LGBTQ whatever agenda, I don't know if I got that right and don't care, the sodomite agenda, abortion, it's a nice word for killing babies, microchipping, getting everybody prepped for the mark of the beast, you'd better believe that all of this is part of the setting of the stage for the beast system that will be implemented by the false prophet, Revelation 13, as he helps to elevate the final pope as Antichrist and world ruler. And we have our studies in Revelation you should watch and listen to if you have not already. Revelation 17 and 18 went for something like 20 hours. We took that kind of time so that we could debunk the nonsense out there. The man of sin is in Rome. And the final pope will have everything prepped and ready for him when he finally arrives. I do not believe Francis will be that final pope. but he certainly is a forerunner. But one key ingredient to having your eyes open is to see how the deep state elites right here in America have betrayed the people of this nation. And no one has been betrayed more than our American military men and women. And I'll say flat out, women should not be in combat whatsoever. That's one of the betrayals of the human race, is to put women in combat. For that reason, we're going to simply read and comment on an article that was published in the American Conservative titled McCain and the POW Cover-Up. This thing had been out 7 years ago. I've made reference to it over the years, and that's why I want to put this on record. I'm afraid this thing's going to disappear from the internet at some point. The author was Sidney Shanberg, subtitled "The War Hero" in quotes, because McCain was not a war hero. "The War Hero" in quotes candidate buried information about POWs left behind in Vietnam. Did you hear that? Did you get that? This is going to be somewhat of a lengthy special. It's really for the wonks out there who really want to know the truth and really want to know the details. But this author, Sidney Shanberg, has been a journalist for going on 60 years if he's still alive. He's the author of the book that became the movie The Killing Fields. In 1975, Shanberg was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for international reporting at great risk, quote unquote, at great risk is what they described his reporting. And he's received other rewards. He put out a new book I haven't seen. It's called Beyond the Killing Fields. And this was originally printed in the National Institute, reprinted by permission of the American Conservative. And we have not sought anyone's permission for this because we're not going to read the entire thing verbatim, but we're also including comments. This is a review, not a reading. We're titling this current events discussion John McCain, POW Betrayal. And the article begins, "John McCain, who has risen to political prominence on his image as a Vietnam POW war hero, has inexplicably worked very hard to hide from the public stunning information about American prisoners in Vietnam who, unlike him, didn't return home." I hope you heard that. Throughout his Senate career, McCain has quietly sponsored and pushed into federal law a set of prohibitions that keep the most revealing information about these men buried as classified documents. Thus, the war hero, who people would logically imagine as a determined crusader for the interest of POWs and their families, became instead the strange champion of hiding evidence and closing the books. This man is a serpent. Those are my comments. The more you learn about this John McCain, the more disgusting he becomes. We may make several current events, special productions, just so people, not necessarily to even try to do damage to John McCain politically or anything like that. I mean, He's been diagnosed with cancer. He may not be around much longer anyway. The importance of this is to understand that you are watching the news, you're reading the news, you're seeing this all, this whole thing play out in the political world, and you didn't know this, did you? Most of the people I talk to have no idea about any of this. Back when John McCain ran for president, which is when this was originally published, by the way, I would try to talk to people about the reality of John McCain, going back to his, he's a crook who was bribed by Keating and the whole savings and loan thing back in the late 80s. He's been an anti-Christ, anti-Christian politician his entire life. That's another one of the current events specials we could do, is how McCain suddenly became sanctified when he ran for president. But before that, he disparaged what he called right-wing Christians. And we could go on and on with all this stuff about John McCain, and people just don't know anything about it. And the point is, it's not just John McCain. I urge people when I'm teaching to read history, learn history. You can understand the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit only in so much as you have knowledge that He can work with. We're described as clay, and He's the potter. But some people only have about a teaspoon of clay to work with. And the more you learn, the more you grow in your understanding, the more the Holy Spirit will work in you. And that's why we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But there's other places where we're just simply told to buy the truth and sell it not, in Proverbs. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's not just lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Jesus talks about those who don't have common sense, basically, and don't have the discernment that they ought to have about life, and that the children of this world are more wise than the children of the kingdom. It shouldn't be so. And that's why we're talking about John McCain and his betrayal of POWs. Some of you may be just interested in this because you know someone, or you know folks who have a loved one who didn't come back from Vietnam. Think of that. There are people who never returned from Vietnam, and we're told that none of them were being held prisoner. Let's continue to read. You'll see what I'm talking about. But the article continues and says, quote, "Almost as striking is the manner in which the mainstream press has shied from reporting the POW story and McCain's role in it." The Republican Party made McCain's military service the focus of his presidential campaign back in 08. And reporters who had covered the Vietnam War turned their heads and walked in other directions. Listen to this. This is from the article. "McCain doesn't talk about the missing men, and the press never asks him about them." End quote. Folks, these are Americans who went over and fought a war that was never fought to win, and then they were left there to rot by your government and mine here in America. And politicians like John McCain did everything they could to kill it, so the story would die, the investigations would be thwarted, and the information would be hidden. The article continues, quote, "The sum of the secrets McCain has sought to hide is not small. There exists a telling mass of official documents, radio intercepts, witness depositions, satellite photos of rescue symbols that pilots were trained to use, electronic messages from the ground containing the individual code numbers given to airmen, a rescue mission by a special forces unit that was aborted twice by Washington, and even sworn testimony by two defense secretaries that, quote, men were left behind, end quote. This imposing body of evidence suggests that a large number, the documents indicate probably hundreds, of the U.S. prisoners held by Vietnam were not returned when the peace treaty was signed in January 1973 and Hanoi released 591 men, among them Navy combat pilot John S. McCain, end quote. Johnny came marching home and left his comrades, as the turncoat should call them, to rot in Vietnam. It's just sickening. These are the people who run this country, and folks, these are the people who run the Republican Party. I get accused of being a Republican, and that you might as well call me a Marxist, because I'm neither. I am a conservative politically, but I am a Bible believer first and foremost. And I've voiced my support for our President Trump when he's right. If he's wrong, he's wrong, and I'll speak out against it. But it's not about being a Republican. It's about supporting what is right. And also simply telling the truth, getting the truth out there. Under the heading Massive Evidence, the article continues, quote, "The Pentagon had been withholding significant information from POW families for years. What's more, the Pentagon's POW/MIA operation had been publicly shamed by internal whistleblowers and POW families for holding back documents as part of a policy of debunking POW intelligence, even when the information was obviously credible. The pressure from the families and Vietnam veterans finally forced the creation in late 1991 of a Senate Select Committee on POW/MIA Affairs." Now listen to this. The chairman was John Kerry. McCain, as a former POW, was its most pivotal member. In the end, the committee became part of the debunking machine. End quote. In other words, they made this committee supposedly to help the families, to get information so we could get our boys back. It was a big sham. And the leaders of the sham, John Kerry and John McCain. Continuing, quote, "One of the sharpest critics of the Pentagon's performance was an insider, Air Force Lieutenant General Eugene Teague, who headed the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, during the 1970s. He openly challenged the Pentagon's position that no live prisoners existed, saying that the evidence proved otherwise. McCain was a bitter opponent of Teague, who was eventually pushed into retirement," end quote. Those who stood up for our men that were left behind in Vietnam, pushed out. John McCain was the big pusher. Listen to this. We continue, quote, "Included in the evidence that McCain and his government allies suppressed or sought to discredit is a transcript of a senior North Vietnamese general's briefing of Hanoi Politburo, discovered in Soviet archives by an American scholar in 1993. The briefing took place only 4 months before the 1973 peace accords. The general, Tran Van Quang, told the Politburo members that Hanoi was holding 1,205 American prisoners, but would keep many of them at war's end as leverage to ensure getting war reparations from Washington, end quote. Now you do the math. 1,200 prisoners, but less than 600 came home. Quote, throughout the Paris negotiations, the Northern Vietnamese tied the prisoner issue tightly to the issue of reparations. They were adamant in refusing to deal with them separately. Finally, in a February 2, 1973 formal letter to Hanoi's premier, Pham Van Dong, Nixon pledged $3.25 billion in post-war reconstruction aid without any political conditions, but he also attached to the letter a codicil that said the aid would be implemented by each party in accordance with its own constitutional provisions. That meant Congress would have to approve the appropriation, and Nixon and Kissinger knew well that Congress was in no mood to do so. The Vietnamese, whether or not they immediately understood the double talk in the letter, remained skeptical about the reparations promise being honored, and it never was. Hanoi thus appears to have held back prisoners. You get that? I know there's a lot of reading here, but this is important. I continue repeating, Hanoi thus appears to have held back prisoners, just as it had done when the French were defeated at Dien Bien Phu in 1954 and withdrew their forces from Vietnam. In that case, France paid ransoms for prisoners and brought them home, end quote from the article. Is that sinking in? Listen, if they had French POWs and required ransom, you had better believe there were Americans being held for the same reason. Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of the families of these people who were left to rot. Quote, in a private briefing in 1992, high-level CIA officials told me, the author of this article, that as the years passed and the ransom never came, it became more and more difficult for either government to admit that it knew from the start about the unacknowledged prisoners we call POWs. Those prisoners had not only become useless as bargaining chips, but also posed a risk to Hanoi's desire to be accepted into the international community. The CIA officials said their intelligence indicated strongly that the remaining men, those who had not died from illness or hard labor or torture, were eventually executed. End quote. Folks, I first looked into this years ago. It just made me sick. And instead of getting all the information, helping families and loved ones to find out what happened, and going back and looking at the fact that there was an opportunity to get these boys back alive, and they were betrayed by our government. All that being covered up by John McCain. The author states that in his own research, he's convinced that it's not likely that more than a few, if any, are alive in captivity today. And that CIA briefing that was held in Virginia, the headquarters of the CIA, it was conducted off the record, but he said that because the evidence that he had gathered from his own reporting had brought him to the same conclusion, he felt there was no longer any point not writing about the meeting. He continues, quote, "For many reasons, including the absence of a political constituency for the missing men other than their families and some veterans groups, very few Americans are aware of the POW story and of McCain's role in keeping it out of public view and denying the existence of abandoned POWs. That is because McCain has hardly been alone in his campaign to hide the scandal. The Arizona senator, now the Republican candidate for president as of the writing of this article in 2008, has actually been following the lead of every White House since Richard Nixon's, and thus of every CIA director, Pentagon chief, and national security advisor, not to mention Dick Cheney, who was George H.W. Bush's defense secretary. And their biggest accomplice has been an indolent press, particularly in Washington." End quote. And there, again, is another important story for us to not only learn, but to help others understand. We do not have a free press in America. The article continues, quote, "An early and critical McCain secrecy move involved 1990 legislation that started in the House of Representatives. A brief and simple document, it was called the Truth Bill, would have compelled complete transparency about prisoners and missing men. Its core sentence reads, quote, the head of each department or agency which holds or receives any records and information, including live citing reports, which have been correlated or possibly correlated to United States personnel listed as prisoner of war or missing in action from World War II, the Korean conflict, and the Vietnam conflict, shall make available to the public all such records held or received by that department or agency," end quote. Now, you'd think that'd just be common order. They had to pass a bill for that to be the case. Now listen as we continue, quote, "Bitterly opposed by the Pentagon and thus McCain, the bill went nowhere. Reintroduced the following year, it again disappeared. But a few months later, a new measure known as the McCain Bill suddenly appeared. By creating a bureaucratic maze from which only a fraction of the documents could emerge, the only records that revealed no POW secrets, it turned the Truth Bill on its head. The McCain Bill became law in 1991 and remains so today. So crushing the transparency are its provisions that it actually spells out for the Pentagon and other agencies several rationales, scenarios, and justifications for not releasing any information at all, even about prisoners discovered alive in captivity. Later that year, the Senate Select Committee was created, where Kerry and McCain ultimately worked together to bury evidence," end quote. Is all this sinking in? You don't have to take my word for it or the word of this author, Sidney Shanberg. Why? Because you can go look all this up. Go look up the McCain Bill. Came law in 1991, and it remains law to this day, and its purpose is to kill efforts to find POWs and inform family and loved ones. But he wasn't done. This is a lifelong mission of Songbird McCain. The article continues, quote, McCain was also instrumental in amending the Missing Service Personnel Act, which had been strengthened in 1995 by POW advocates to include criminal penalties. The bill said, quote, any government official who knowingly and willfully withholds from the file of a missing person any information regarding or relating to the disappearance or whereabouts and status of a missing person shall be fined as provided in Title 18 or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. End quote from the bill. The article continues, quote, a year later, in a closed House Senate conference on an unrelated military bill, McCain, at the behest of the Pentagon, attached a crippling amendment to the act, stripping out its only enforcement teeth, the criminal penalties, and reducing the obligations of commanders in the field to speedily search for missing men and to report the incidents to the Pentagon. About the relaxation of POW-MIA obligations on commanders in the field, a public McCain memo said, quote, this transfers the bureaucracy involved out of the battlefield to Washington, end quote. He wrote that the original legislation it left, if left intact, quote, would accomplish nothing but create new jobs for lawyers and turn military commanders into clerks. McCain argued that keeping the criminal penalties would have made it impossible for the Pentagon to find staffers willing to work on POW-MIA matters. That's an odd argument to make. Were staffers only willing to work if they were allowed to conceal POW records? By eviscerating the law, McCain gave his stamp of approval to the government policy of debunking the existence of live POWs, end quote. Now, I know this is a tangled web. I hope you're able to follow this very well-written article. The bottom line is John McCain has done everything he can to make sure that there is no incentive to find POWs and expose information to families and loved ones regarding their whereabouts, what happened to them. And he's also removed any penalties for those who do cover up and conceal POW records. But it gets worse. Because as John McCain is doing everything he can to kill the POW-MIA recovery efforts, in the meantime, he mocks and maligns POW families and loved ones. From the article, quote, McCain has insisted again and again that all the evidence, documents, witnesses, satellite photos, two Pentagon chiefs' sworn testimony, aborted rescue missions, ransom offers apparently scorned, has been woven together by unscrupulous deceivers to create an insidious and unpatriotic myth. He calls it the bizarre rantings of the MIA lobbyists, end quote. He has regularly vilified those who keep trying to pry out classified documents as hoaxers, charlatans, conspiracy theorists, and dime store Rambos, end quote. John McCain is a punk. He is a disgusting human being. And the fact he's celebrated even by Christians, just it's a confirmation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Christians by and large, just about put him in as the president of the United States. You say, well, our only choice was Obama. Yeah, we had no choice. That's why I didn't vote for either one. He's no Donald Trump. Donald Trump is no savior, but Donald Trump is the best we could hope for as we try to simply stay the course until the rapture. But John McCain would have been worse than Obama. Obama got elected, and most of the conservatives that I know, and conservatives and libertarians both, fought tooth and nail against the Obama agenda. If McCain had been elected, about half those people would have retired and supported what McCain was doing in some cases, because he's a Republican. Now listen, this ministry, we are not 501c3, we're not an arm of the government, and we are not a arm of the Republican Party. The Democrat Party is from hell, yes. The Green Party is from hell, yes. But the Republican Party only has a remnant of true conservatives in it. John McCain isn't one of them. And listen, what's interesting, this article goes on to talk about some of his fellow prisoners, captives, at the Hanoi Hilton, as they call it. I think it's called the Hoa Lo prison in Hanoi. And they didn't share his views about POWs. Reading from the article, quote, before he died of leukemia in 1999, retired Colonel Ted Guy, a highly admired POW and one of the most dogged resistors in the camps, wrote an angry open letter to the Senator, John McCain, in an MIA newsletter. A response to McCain's streams of insults hurled at MIA activists. Guy wrote, this is the words of a dead man who was honorable, Colonel Ted Guy. He wrote, John, think about that. He doesn't address him as honorable or as senator. Quote, John, does this, referring to the insults I just read, does this include Senator Bob Smith, a New Hampshire Republican and activist on POW issues, and other concerned elected officials? Does this include the families of the missing, where there is overwhelming evidence that their loved ones were last known alive? Does this include some of your fellow POWs, end quote with a question mark? It's not clear, reading from the article, it's not clear whether the taped confession McCain gave to his captors to avoid further torture has played a role in his post-war behavior in the Senate. That confession was played endlessly over the prison loudspeaker system at Hoa Lo to try to break down other prisoners, and was broadcast over Hanoi State Radio. I'll stop the article for a second to remind you. That's why I referred to him as Songbird McCain. Do a search. Put in McCain captivity or McCain captive. Songbird McCain. Any of those search terms will turn up information. But the article continues, quote, reportedly he confessed to being a war criminal who had bombed civilian targets. The Pentagon has a copy of the confession, but will not release it. End quote. Think about that. We rightfully denounce the fact that Obama's records were sealed. No one knows anything about that skinny little thing. And they elected him president. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But the same is true about McCain. The Pentagon has a copy of the confession but will not release it. Continuing, quote, also no outsider I know of has ever seen a non-redacted copy of the debriefing of McCain when he returned from captivity, which is classified but could be made public by McCain. End quote. And in other words, the eyewitnesses that were over there with McCain, they say that McCain was a songbird and not a hero. And in a related interview, a particular guard who was over there said that McCain was not tortured. And that's one of those things, if I had right here, I would bring it, I would read it to you. But you can look that up, do a search. McCain is not the hero that the Republican Party and many others have tried to make you believe he is. That is the bottom line. And there's a fair point here by the author, Schanberg. Sidney Schanberg, and that is to say that all human beings have their breaking points. Many men undergo torture giving confessions, often telling huge lies so their fakery will be understood by their comrades and their country, and few will fault them. But it was McCain who apparently felt he had disgraced himself in his military family. His father, John S. McCain II, was a highly regarded rear admiral, then serving as commander of all U.S. forces in the Pacific, and his grandfather was also a rear admiral. In his best-selling 1999 autobiography, Faith of My Fathers, McCain says he felt bad throughout his captivity because he knew he was being treated more leniently than his fellow POWs owing to his high-ranking father, and thus his propaganda value. Other prisoners at Hualo say his captors considered him a prize catch and called him the crown prince, something McCain acknowledges in the book. Also in his memoir, McCain expresses guilt at having broken under torture and given the confession. He says, quote, I felt faithless and couldn't control my despair, he writes, revealing that he had made two feeble attempts at suicide. In later years, he said he tried to hang himself with his shirt and guards intervened. Tellingly, he says he lived in dread that his father would find out about the confession. I still wince, he writes, when I recall wondering if my father had heard of my disgrace. End quote. So when people are telling you about the fact that he was Songbird McCain and he wasn't the hero he's been painted up to be, he admits as much. But you're not supposed to think about that. You're not supposed to have an opinion about that. He's a hero. So just shut up and go along with the narrative there. Peon, that's what we're told. He goes on, says he says that when he returned home, he told his father about the confession, but never discussed it at length, and the admiral, who died in 1981, didn't indicate he had heard anything about it before, but he had. In the 1999 memoir, the senator writes, quote, "I only recently learned that the tape had been broadcast outside the prison and had come to the attention of my father," end quote. Is McCain haunted by these memories? Does he suppress POW information because its surfacing would rekindle his feelings of shame? On this subject, all I have are questions. Many stories have been written about McCain's explosive temper, so volcanic that colleagues are loath to speak openly about it. One veteran congressman who has observed him over the years asked for confidentiality and made this brief comment, quote, "This is a man not at peace with himself," end quote. John McCain is a mess. And he, like anybody else, if you're that messed up in the head, just sit down and shut up and get out of the way. Let people find out what happened to the POWs in Vietnam. But the descriptions of how he's treated the POW researchers and families is amazing. The article continues, quote, "He was certainly far from calm on the Senate POW committee. He browbeat expert witnesses who came with information about unreturned POWs. Family members who have personally faced McCain and pressed him to end the secrecy also have been treated to his legendary temper. He has screamed at them, insulted them, brought women to tears. Mostly his responses to them have been versions of, 'How dare you question my patriotism?' In 1996, he roughly pushed aside a group of POW family members who had waited outside a hearing room to appeal to him, including a mother in a wheelchair. But even without answers to what may be hidden in the recesses of McCain's mind, one thing about the POW story is clear. If American prisoners were dishonored by being written off and left to die, that's something the American public ought to know about." End quote. Amen. When John McCain campaigned for the presidency in 2008, he tried to use the image of the war hero, the maverick, the straight shooter. Well, he owes voters some explanations. Quote from the article, "The press were long ago wooed and won by McCain's seeming openness, Lone Ranger pose, and self-deprecating humor, which may partly explain their ignoring his record on POWs in numerous lengthy McCain profiles that have appeared of late in papers like the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. I may have missed a clause or a sentence along the way, but I have not found a single mention of his role in burying information about POWs. Television and radio news programs have been similarly silent." End quote. And that's what I'm talking about right there. It's to wake up to the fact that we don't have a real news media in this country. People do not know the truth about any of their pet politicians. And John McCain, even though when he ran against Obama, he got some treatment in order to help elect Barry. But that's the only time you really find John McCain not being a hero of the news media. The article continues, quote, "Reporters simply never ask him about it. They didn't when he ran unsuccessfully for the Republican nomination in 2000. They haven't now, 2008, despite the fact that we're in the midst of another war. A war he supports, and one that has echoes of Vietnam. The only explanation McCain has ever offered for his leadership on legislation that seals POW files is that he believes the release of such information would only stir up fresh grief for the families of those who were never accounted for in Vietnam. Of the scores of POW families I've met over the years," says the author, "only a few have said they want the books closed without knowing what happened to their men. The rest all say that not knowing is exactly what grieves them." End quote. In other words, John McCain has prolonged and worsened the grief of the families of POWs. They have made it clear it's the not knowing that grieves them, and John McCain has condemned them to a life of grief. Now, earlier we mentioned the Senate committee, John Kerry of all people, and John McCain, and the author under the heading, How the Senate Committee Perpetuated the Debunking. I want to move quickly and get through the rest of this article. He says, quote, in its early months, the Senate Select Committee on POW-MIA Affairs gave the appearance of being committed to finding out the truth about the MIAs. As time went on, however, it became clear that they were cooperating in every way with the Pentagon and CIA, who often seemed to be calling the shots, even setting the agendas for certain key hearings. Both agencies held back the most important POW files. Dick Cheney was the Pentagon chief then. Robert Gates, now the Pentagon chief, was the CIA director, end quote. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like a family, incestuous family of elitists that just constantly are shuffled and reshuffled in these positions, covering up information regarding POWs. Continuing, quote, further, the committee failed to question any living president. Reagan declined to answer questions. The committee didn't contest his refusal. Nixon was given a pass. George H.W. Bush, the sitting president, whose prints were all over this issue from his days as CIA chief in the 70s, was never even approached. Troubled by these signs, several committee staffers began asking why the agencies they should be probing had been turned into committee partners and decision makers. My comment, the fox watching the hen house. Article continues, quote, memos to that effect were circulated. The staff made the following finding using intelligence reports marked credible that covered POW sightings through 1989. In the article, quote, there can be no doubt that POWs were alive as late as 1989, end quote. That finding was never released. Eventually, much of the staff was in rebellion, end quote. People, I hope this is setting in. This is so disgusting. And John McCain had his hands all over it. American men left to rot in prison as prisoners of war over a war that had been ended. Treaty signed. As late as 1989. And all the information that grieving families wanted to know, covered up by your government, with John McCain right at the head of the whole cover-up. The last official act, the issuance of its final report, the executive secretary, which comprised the first 43 pages, The executive summary, which comprised the first 43 pages, was essentially a whitewash, saying that only a small number of POWs could have been left behind in 1973, and that there was little likelihood that any prisoners could still be alive. The Washington Press Corps, judging from its coverage, seems to have read only this airbrushed summary, which had been closely controlled. But the rest of the 1,221-page report on POW-MIAs was quite different. Sprinkled throughout are pieces of hard evidence that directly contradict the summary's conclusions. This documentation established that a significant number of prisoners were left behind and that top government officials knew this from the start. These candid findings were inserted by committee staffers who had unearthed the evidence and were determined not to allow the truth to be sugarcoated, end quote. Now, sadly, by this point, I probably lost about half the people who have ever started to listen to this information, and it's sad. But if you're still listening, and you find it to be a yawn, just put yourself in the shoes of these men whose nation left them behind to rot. Put yourself in the shoes of the loved ones who've grieved over these men, who knew they were alive, or at least had some evidence that they might be alive, and their own country, their own government, betrayed them. Quote, if the Washington Press Corps did actually read the body of the report and then failed to report its contents, that would be a scandal of its own. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Continuing, the press would then have knowingly ignored the steady stream of findings in the body of the report that refuted the summary and indicated that the number of abandoned men was not small, but considerable. The report gave no figures, but estimates from various branches of the intelligence community ranged up to 600. The lowest estimate was 150. I don't care if that's just one. Up to 600 Americans left behind by its government, left to die. And we could go page by page and give examples of how this report confirmed the reality. In page 207, 209 from the article, quote, these three pages contain revelations of what appear to be either massive intelligence failures or bad intentions or both. The report says that until the committee brought up the subject in 1992, no branch of the intelligence community that dealt with analysis of satellite and lower altitude photos had ever been informed of the specific distress signals U.S. personnel were trained to use in the Vietnam War, nor had they ever been tasked to look for any such signals at all from possible prisoners on the ground, end quote. That is amazingly sick. Continuing, quote, the committee decided, however, not to seek a review of old photography, saying it would cause the expenditure of large amounts of manpower and money with no expectation of success, end quote. It might also have turned up lots of distress signal numbers that nobody in the government was looking for from 1973 to 1991 when the committee opened shop. That would have made it impossible for the committee to write the executive summary it seemed determined to write, end quote. Unbelievable, unstinking believable, it's disgusting and sickening as an American, as a human being, and as a Christian to read this incredible betrayal of our POWs and their families. John McCain. And we're going to have to leave it there. I know we've given you more than enough that anybody listening to this can now go do your own research and find out the truth, or more of the truth, about John McCain being such a pathetic human being and spending his political career to keep POWs and their existence up to at least 1989 secret, and to cover up the details, not allowing family members, loved ones, to have closure. There's not much else I can say about it. It is so disgusting. But the important thing is to open your eyes, not just to John McCain, but to this fallen, sick, sinful world that we live in. We should be preaching the gospel, reaching as many as we can with the gospel, but without the delusion of the charismatics and reconstructionists and postmillennialists thinking we're going to conquer this evil world and set up a kingdom on earth. There is no kingdom coming until Jesus Christ comes and kills all these wicked people under Antichrist and destroys the new world order and sets up his kingdom that will last 1,000 years and then forever.